52nd Psalm for our thoughts tonight. In our meditation, I called Brother Weiss this afternoon and I told him, how would Thursday night be? He said, fine, come on up. He said, spend the night with us again. We'll let you go Friday morning. So I'm looking forward to the trip. Thursday night, you're welcome if you want to come on up there. I think some of the folks at Picayune is going to be there. I praise the Lord for our missions. What the Lord has done in the past and how He's grounded these people at Picayune and Hattiesburg and Baton Rouge and in different parts of the country. And they've been holding steadfast and sure. And I just praise the Lord for that. You just got to praise the Lord for what He's doing. Especially that group in Picayune there. Not a whole lot. But oh, what a people. I've learned a lot there. So let's turn to the 62nd Psalm and read this Psalm, waiting upon God. Waiting upon Him. That's one thing that we have to do is learn to wait before the Lord. To wait quietly, patiently, before Him. You know, there's one thing that we're gonna face time and time again, week after week. When our enemies cannot succeed one way, they'll devise other ways. When their plans are frustrated, and God frustrates their plans, they will devise other methods and schemes to try to offset us and upset us and get us nervous and everything else. If they fail in sending us mail and letters like they do, if they fail in that, and they see where they cannot succeed in breaking our faith, in breaking our hope, in taking us away from our steadfastness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and see where they can't dent it, they're going to try other methods, and they are. And I know when I got up this morning, I just praised the Lord, looking forward to a gracious day like He's given us. But on the other hand, I said, look out. Some evil report here and there. I said, look out. So the Lord makes us aware of many things. We can rejoice and praise Him to the highest heaven. But on the other hand, there's a solemnity about us and a seriousness about us that we think and we're made to see the connivings and the schemes and the workings of Satan. But like David said here in that first verse, truly my soul waited upon God. And that's what I've been doing since God brought me into this ministry here. Oh, and what wrestling with Him, desiring after Him, wanting His will, crying unto Him for wisdom and discernment, leadership, to be a faithful pastor, a faithful servant of His. I've had to learn to wait before the Lord. I've heard this report, that report. I've read this, I've read that. And I was quite nervous in the beginning. quite nervous, and I believe some of you probably have noticed that. And many times as the battle got just a little, I'm not used to all of this, you see. I haven't been used to all of this. I was more or less on the sidelines. I was at my job, in my home. I was never bothered by the enemy. And I thought sure that being here as God's spokesman, that truly they would recognize that. Being that they knew me all through the years. But that didn't make any difference. What life they knew I live and everything else, that just went overboard. And it was just still the same antagonizing and the same scheming and from the same source and trying to set up some kind of a system and to rid us and try to dent and try to make us get off that rock. Not to be so sure. Not to be so sure of what you believe. And tried every method in the world. And now, seemingly, they let up a little bit. Then they come back at you. They let up. And then they come back at you. And it just... But listen, if we didn't have the Lord God of glory, that if I couldn't turn to Him and say like David, truly my soul waits upon God, only Him and none other. I know I've been looking for ways out of here, out of that. How can I deal with this problem? How should I deal with this one? And how? And what about all of this and that and everything? But the Lord has seemingly quietened me down. Just quieting my heart, my nerves, and just quietening me down to wait before Him. Just wait before Him. And to be dependent upon Him for everything. And I just praise Him. And when I read this psalm here, and I read it some time ago, several times, but it never dawned upon me what this psalm means to me now. I know what David meant when he said, truly, my soul waited upon God, not only for services, not only for the message, but for everything, every need, for every moment of the day and night. My soul waited upon the Lord. What a responsibility. What a ministry God's given us here. A people depending and looking this way for help. The needs of the work. From Him cometh my salvation. And that word truly, you can say verily, or only my soul waited upon God and only Him. And you can wait upon God. You can wait. But there's, when you're waiting, you're patiently waiting, you're quietly waiting, although the storms are raging around you, you're quietly waiting before Him. And Jacob said in Genesis 49:18, I have waited for thy salvation. Truly my soul only waits verily upon God, waits upon Him. How about you? How about you? How has the Lord been teaching you? Are you only waiting upon Him? Can you say, my soul waited upon God? Truly? Only Him? Only Him? For He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense I shall not be greatly moved. Now, Psalms 33:20 tells us, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Praise the Lord. He alone, He only is our help and our shield. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. Listen. Listen, sinner. Listen, believer. Let me read that to you again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you're constantly going and running and worrying and frustrated, and you're trying to fight things, bring situations about in your own strength, you don't have time enough to renew your strength. You're draining yourself of strength. But the thing about when God gets a hold of you and teaches you, and especially when we need all the strength that we can muster in this leadership, and you as God's people, He quietly sets you down that you may renew your strength. What it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, gain new strength for the battles, for the problems, wherever it might be. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now all this day long, I'm taking all of this one day, God has showed us that. God has been faithful in these kind words of His as we read them. For all of this day in the service of this morning, and even through this afternoon and tonight. I know I had company at the house, and I appreciated it pretty near all evening. I never could sit in my room to try to get a little rest. It went from me after a while. And trying to meditate and trying to think upon the message tonight. But I found this to be so. My strength still remains with me, God's strength, and that we may perform this one service tonight to the glory and the honor of our Lord. Yes, they shall run and not be weary. And we ran all day today, seemingly, running to and fro from the throne of grace, crying for mercy, and encouraging God's people to be like Christ and be more like Him, and encouraging sinners to turn to that fountain of blood, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to wait before Him. Yes, they shall walk and not faint. Now, what are we going to wait for? Some thoughts here. While we're waiting, what do we want to wait for? Just to sit down idle? Just to wait before Him idle? No. How many of us have asked the Lord for different things? How many of you sinners, you say you want to be saved? How often have you taken time to wait before the Lord for what? For answered prayers. Oh, be like Jacob who wrestled with the Lord all the night. He waited for that blessing. He wrestled for it. He would not give up. He waited for the answer, and he received the answer. Now, you wait before the Lord for what? For answered prayers. Answered prayers. Now, how are you waiting? You're waiting quietly, sweetly, without murmuring, without complaining. You're waiting before Him. You're crying unto Him that you may know Christ. Oh, you're crying out against your unbelief. And you're asking God to give you grace to believe Him, to believe upon His Son, to believe in that redemption in Christ. And you're waiting there. You're not in a hurry. You don't want to leave that place. You're waiting before God for answered prayers. There's nothing more important. And I tell you something else. You and I are waiting for promises to be fulfilled. Waiting for promises to be fulfilled. And like one said, I've been waiting for a long time for my children. I've been praying unto the Lord that He'll get a hold of their hearts and lives. And like one dear wife told me, says, I've been praying for my husband for years. Because the job that he had kept him occupied all the time and never a time to turn to the Lord. And she believes God's will is being accomplished. She's waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. Or for your household. Like the prayer of some saint said, you know, Lord, half of my household is saved. You can save the other half. I can wait upon you to save the other half. And you and I as parents can wait. Wait before God. Lay hold of the promises to be yet fulfilled. And I believe, I say this with all my heart, that I know when our dear pastor passed on to glory, I know his prayer was still yet, Lord, lay hold of my children. Lay hold of them. And it wouldn't be a bit surprising to me that the Lord could not reach down in all of their rebellion, in all of their hatred and their malice, and bring them forth as children of the living God. Listen, there's no hard case with our Lord. Don't talk about what the Lord cannot do, but talk about what He can do. He can save unto the uttermost. He can save the most blackest sinner, the most rebellious sinner. Yes, just let God get a hold of him. And our prayers are not in vain, and I don't believe our pastor's prayers are going to be in vain. We have yet to see answered prayers, but we can wait. We can wait upon the Lord. We can wait. We can wait upon God. For promises to be fulfilled. For your heart, for my heart. For your life, for my life. And then we can also wait before Him for deliverances from our enemies. And that psalm teaches that. Listen to that. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And then he goes on, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, like a bowing wall shall ye be, and like a tottering fence. Now what does he mean by that statement? Well, let's read on here. To wait for his salvation, listen, without murmuring. To wait patiently and quietly on the Lord. While we wait, we hope, and we trust. True faith will wait upon God. A person who has true faith It can stand the test of time. And time doesn't mean anything in the world when you're waiting before God. He only is my rock and my salvation. David says, God only is his sufficiency. And I shall not be greatly moved, like a ship at anchor, tossed to and fro, moved but not removed from its mooring. And that's a child of God. Moved but not removed from its mooring. Moved by many things, but not removed. Cast down, but not forsaken. Faith will always arise above the danger, above the situation. It will always, I don't care how down and out an individual is, if they know the Lord, faith will always arise above the danger, above the darkness, above the calamities around us. It will. God's proven it so. And then he goes on, he says, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? How long? A born-again believer has to reckon with all the powers of Satan. The enemies of the gospel are always devising schemes and are full of malicious mischief, designed to overthrow the work of the Lord and his people. And that is so. Always about, like I said a little while ago, if they cannot succeed one way, they will try another. They will try and try and try. And they've been doing that all through the years. And then he goes on, he says, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. Look in your Bible there, in that third verse. Like a bowing wall shall ye be, and like a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And that's what I met a little while ago. They just don't like for a believer to be bold. For individuals to be bold in their testimony. Because, now what do they do? They consult to cast him down from his excellency, from his sureness, from his steadfastness, from his boldness. And when I tell them, and when I repeat sometime that I know God's called me first in salvation, and I know God's put me here as his leader, he thrust me into the pulpit here, they just don't like that, and they let me know it. They want to totter me. They want me to leave I just don't know how to explain it, but to not to be so sure in what I'm saying. You're just not so sure. You can't be sure. No man can be sure. And that's the way they come at you, you know? How can you be so bold? You know, don't you know it's possible that you could be going through a dream, or you might be having another one of those great experiences, and do you know you might be sidetracked, like someone wrote and said, God didn't put you there, the board put you there. The board put you there. How stupid can men be? How stupid can individuals be? It's just like they say about the Word of God. That's not what God's Word. Man wrote that Bible. Man wrote the Word of God. That's not His Word. How stupid can men be? Would they expect the Lord to come down from heaven here and sit down here and write the Bible himself? Now, I tell you, I praise the Lord for an open understanding. Now, I praise Him that He's given us understanding to set aside error and to quiet those who will rise up against the Word of God and claim that is written just by man, and that's man's word alone. When God saves you, He saves you through the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit makes these truths known to your heart. The Word of God comes home to your heart in power and gives you assurance unto your salvation in Christ. Man cannot do that. And man cannot leave such an impression upon the heart and mind of an individual that would persuade him fully into believing this. What did God do? How did He move upon this ministry, upon the board, upon you people here and out in Radio Land to put me up here, to call me into the ministry? He moved upon your hearts, upon every heart, and I believe it was upon every heart of every believer. Because how many have told me, you know, I often wondered who it would be. And I always thought it might be you. And when the time came, when the pastor went on, it registered in my heart that it would be you long before the board ever elected you. I didn't know it. But you all knew it. God impress your heart by His Spirit. And now that's got the enemy mad. That's got E.W. White mad. You didn't know it, but he couldn't succeed one way. He's trying something else. He's coming on just before our Sunday school broadcast and making his spot announcement unto his program at 1 o'clock, trying to frustrate the people out in Radio Land that the Bible School of the Air has discontinued from here and is continuing with his broadcast. Just a minute or a half a minute before our Sunday School of the Air, Bible School of the Air, comes on. Now, he planned that thing. He couldn't succeed any other way. Now he's right close now to where he says, now I got him. Now I'll get the public to think that they're not on the air anymore, and they'll hear this announcement, so their figure's not on no more, so I'll just go ahead and wait till 1 o'clock to hear him, you see. Now, the Lord showed me that today. Of course, I've got that statement from someone who heard it. But I think He's going to give me grace how to deal with that problem. And as far as He's concerned, He's doing everything in His world to turn people from here. But like someone told me this morning, mentioned to me, well, if they're not in Christ, if they're going to go on with Him, they're going anyway. But like Brother Dockrell told me this afternoon, he says, I wouldn't leave one stone unturned. I would let the public know that you're not putting your stamp of approval on anything that E.W. White stands for and the announcements that he's making. So you see, they imagine mischief against the man. They consult to cast him down from his excellency, from his boldness in Christ. And because I haven't said anything along that line, thinking that he would have some sense, thinking he would use some discretion, understanding, but they take advantage of you. And while you're being loving and kind and trying to understand, then they'll try to inject their schemes and their mischief. Yes, let's bring him down from his excellency. Now, no telling what they might have in store. Let's wreck his character. They've tried that. Let's fill his heart and mind with all kind of different things. Let's make him feed on lustful things, on dirty things. They've tried that. Praise the Lord, he overruled everything. Because what? My soul waited upon God. My salvation is only of the Lord and no one else. And I can be bold and true in the Lord and faithful unto the calling which he's called me to. But listen, he is my defense. And look at that fourth verse again. They consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They tell lies on you. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Smooth things with their mouths. They talk smooth things, kindly on the outside, but on the inside, what are they? They are just, they curse inwardly, inwardly. Someone told me they saw someone who was first, who used to come to this church today, and you should have seen the face on that individual. It was hard and cruel. When anybody turns down the truth, turns down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and takes upon himself and a group and others to fight this truth, to fight this gospel, their faces and their countenance, their attitude can be nothing else but cruel and full of hatred. I've seen that in the 3 or 4 months, in the 4 months that I've been here. And no telling to what extent they'll go to. They'll create mischief. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm expecting him. What everything, I expect everything from him. Victory. That's one thing I expect from him. Victory. Grace. And instead of cursing, blessing. The enemy is going to totter like a wall. They're going to fall flat one day. And they'll never be able to get up. For God is my expectation. It is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. They don't like that. They don't like that. There's too much surety there. It's like an individual telling you that they don't know anything. You don't know about anything about salvation or ever being saved until you die. They don't like you to say, I know Christ now. He is my salvation now. Oh, I made an individual almost mad one day when we got to talking along those lines. And he said, away with all that. So I don't believe all that. I said, that's so. Yes, sirree. My Lord, He is my salvation now. I'm glad I don't have to wait till after I die to know where I'm going, because if you don't know where you're going now in this life, when you come to die, you're only going to hell. There's no such thing as God adding up my good works and my bad works and hoping that your good works would outweigh your bad works. No, there's no such thing as that. An individual is either saved or he's lost. And God is his salvation or not his salvation. You're either sure that you're saved or you're, otherwise you're not saved. He is my salvation. He is my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You know, David was used to being chased about by Saul and by the enemy so much. That's where he got the picture about God being his rock, his hiding place. He used to run into the caverns and he'd find protection in the caverns. And he got that picture about the Lord being his rock, his hiding place. He's my cavern. He's my protector. And every time they found him, he was in the cavern. Or he'd run off and hide in the cavern. Now, where you and I run? Huh? Where's your hiding place? Where is my hiding place? Oh, he only is my rock. He only is my defense. He only is my salvation. That's Christ. That's Christ. I would that you knew Him. I hope that you know Him. And I hope that you're able to say that truly, Pastor, He is my salvation. He is my rock. He is my strength. He is my expectation. And all of my expectations come from Him. In the 8th verse, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I get a letter from Dr. Copeland every now and then, and it blesses my heart. At the end of some of his statements, he'll say, Selah. Just sit down there and think about that. It means something. Selah. I got a letter from him yesterday in the mail. And he's looking forward to being with us on Fellowship Day. And I'm looking forward to his coming. Yes, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether together lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Now, there's nothing wrong in riches and having a lot of money, but the Lord says, praise Him for it, bless Him for it, but don't set your heart upon them. But because they tend to mischief. It'll get you in trouble. But let all of your expectations come from God. Always set God before you as the great I am, as the great hiding place, as the great Savior as He is, the great King, the ruler of your heart and life. Always set Him before you. Wonderful to have these things, but how much better it is to have God as your salvation. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Never forget how you made that wealth, how you gained those riches. And in salvation, never forget the way God saved you, that it was by His power, His deliverance. Power belongeth to God. And also unto Thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for Thou renderest to every man according to his work. His work. And that reminds us, in closing, that the great day of judgment, God shall try the works of every individual. And I know the believer, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged. Not that their works will condemn them. Not to be judged and forever forsaken, but to be judged on the way that they use the talents that God's given them. The Christian life that He's given you. The way that you have used that life. Did it bear fruit? Some will bear 100, some 60, some 70. But how did you and I take care of the talents God gave us? Did we use it for the glory of God? Did we use it to win sinners unto Christ, to witness, to be of service, and to labor in this vineyard of the Lord? But at the great white throne of judgment, there'll be no mercy there. But a fiery indignation. Indignation. Are you able to say, God is my salvation? Do you long to say that? Has God extended to you mercy? And that you're able to say, you know, I want Him. I long after Him. I want Him to be my salvation. I know He died for me. I know He died for sinners. But I want to be able to say that He only is my salvation. He only is my God. He only is my rock, my hiding place. Oh, I would that I could say that. Then what should you do? Wait patiently before the Lord. Wait patiently before Him. For the promise will come. It will not always tarry, but it will come. And when it does come, it will come quickly. Salvation is instantaneously. And praise God that it's so. I know some woman told me, she says, my salvation I grew into my salvation. I said, no, ma'am, you did not grow into your salvation. Salvation is instantaneously. We grow in grace, and we grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord. And sinner, it can happen to you. Look to Christ. Wait upon Him. Quietly, reverently, with the faith He's given you. And with that faith, you're going to be able to lay hold of Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? And then you can say, like someone said, that's grace on top of grace. And it is. Just to know Christ. Just to know Him. Can you go away from here tonight and say, you know, Pastor, He's my rock. He's my salvation. I would that you could. Why can't you? Why don't you? God doesn't tease a sinner. That's right. And I pray the Lord will do that even for you tonight, is my prayer. And our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this hour, how Thou hast extended grace unto us and mercy again. We just want to thank You for Thy marvelous, marvelous grace, for Thy great salvation, for our God. And if He be for us, who can be against us? And our blessed Lord, lead us and guide us and keep us through this week. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Thank you for being